the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey, guys. This is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz. I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Got another submission for Slow-Mo Roz and Mocha from the podcast.
Oh.
It was discovered a while ago that if you listen to our podcast, available on Spotify, Apple, Frequency Podcast Network as well,
mm-hmm.
We drop episodes daily. If you listen to the podcast at half speed, some of the conversations, especially the ridiculous ones, we sound drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun for people who have been going back to like the very beginning and finding moments and then DMing them to us. Like this one came in from Monica J from like year one of our podcast, episode 37, when you and I, Roz, were talking about a couple of gay swans.
Okay.
Okay, listen to this.
They arrested two gay swans in Austria.
What? I didn't know swans could be gay.
Swans.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Live your life.
Live your life, little swan. And they don't know if it's a full gay relationship. Because it could also be that swans are very aggressive and one male swan could have actually forced the other male swan to be his gay partner. And okay. The other male swan may not have actually been gay. And they were living a life, playing house, attacking people who came by.
Stay away from my man.
But instead of an egg that was in the nest,
yeah,
because they didn't have an egg, they didn't have a baby.
They were protecting something in the...
They were protecting something.
In the nest.
Yes.
Which was what?
A plastic cup.
Two swans, one cup, right?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yo.
No, he didn't.
Yo. If you find a moment.
No. We need more gay swan stories, man. How do you do like a Google alert?
Yo, just set it up.
I need to never miss another gay swan story, dude.
If you find a moment from our podcast that when you listen to the conversation at half speed, it sounds ridiculous like we're drunk, then feel free to DM it to us, timestamp it so we could share it with everyone. Just as Monica J did from episode 37. Talking about two gay swans.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hello, it's Roz and Mocha. What's your name?
Hi, it's Kayla.
Hi, Kayla. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Sorry for keeping you on hold for so long, but guess what? We got business to take care of. What's going on?
We definitely do have some business. It's between me and you.
Oh.
So my question is, can someone please explain why anyone would watch wrestling? It's so scripted, so cringe, wow. Major ick.
Damn.
Oh, what?
Wow. Oh, Kayla, wow.
Let's dive in.
Wow. Maria. Maria just perk up in a chair, grab the microphone like, yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Why? Okay, question. My question to you, Kayla, is why are you asking this question to us?
Because I've been listening for 4 years and I love the show, but like, what is with the wrestling? Like, there's UFC, there's one championship, real talent, MMA, boxing, all that. You could just go watch Monster Trucks or something. It's like the same category, basically.
Wrestling and Monster Trucks? Are you dumb?
What?
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
No.
Oh, man, my kid's going to give me so much crap for calling somebody else dumb. I apologize, Kayla. That was uncalled for. But like, you're about to get some heat right now.
Like,
Shem can't even speak. Shem
is
stunned right now. Shem.
I almost want to cry. Like, I'm almost emotional. Is that weird?
Okay, so wait, answer the question. She wants to know why watch wrestling.
Sure. Wrestling is a form of entertainment.
and it's enjoyable entertainment to watch. And I think people like myself and Mocha, we realize that it is scripted, but it's scripted like any other sort of scripted fictional drama that you might watch. We don't believe that it's like real. We know that it's scripted and we enjoy it. That's all.
Also, the athleticism.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But everyone I've met before you guys think that it's real, and it just gives me the ick.
Okay, well, like it's still real to me, damn it, okay? Like, what do you want out of my life? It's something in my life that I enjoy, okay, Kayla?
Right.
Sorry, Mocha.
I will say this, though, Shem, which is I do agree with you that you go into it knowing that it's, you know, it's scripted and it's a soap opera and everything
it's
else.
It's entertainment.
But to compare it to other shows like that, I don't believe, because other shows that you watch, right, you don't have to buy into the make-believe in order to enjoy it. Oftentimes, you can just watch something that is scripted, and it's entertainment, and it's just basic. But I think as a wrestling fan, in order to enjoy wrestling as a fan, you have to be a participant in the make-believe. In order to enjoy wrestling, you have to be a participant in the make-believe.
Maria, has Kayla been asking all the questions that you've always wanted to ask on the show?
Yes.
Okay.
That's thank you, Kayla. Like,
sitting there agreeing.
But it's true, though. Like, you guys know.
Okay,
like,
we don't have time for this.
Okay, story. Well, I could go on and on.
Okay, yeah. Does that answer your question, Kayla? Like,
It does. I'll take it.
Like, what do you think of all of everything that Shem and I just said?
It doesn't matter
what you think, Kayla.
Oh, damn.
Because it's still real to me, damn it.
Damn.
Sorry. All right.
Love you, Kayla. Thank you for listening. Thank you for spending the last 4 years with the Roz and Mocha Show. We're going to be celebrating year 15 this year. Before we let you go, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Can you guess?
Oh, man.
I will take that W. Thank you, Kayla.
Oh, wow.
See ya.
Come on. Oh, damn.
Hangs up.
What?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I turned 50 this year.
Hey.
So I do. Yeah.
All right, man.
Congratulations. Are you sad?
Nah, I haven't even really thought about it. But but every now and then you just get like these reminders of how old you are. There was this list that other things in the world that are also turning 50 this year.
Yes.
And I don't know whether this makes you feel old or not old, or it's just kind of a shock at how old some things are, because I had no idea that some of these things are also turning 50.
Okay, go.
Post-it notes, turn 50 this year.
Okay.
Damn, paper.
The Rubik's Cube turns 50 this year.
Wow.
Barcodes turn 50 this year.
Yeah. That's great. Yo, you should get a barcode tattoo, bro.
Bailey's Irish Cream turns 50 this year.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons turns 50 this year.
Damn.
Connect Four.
Uh-huh.
Skittles. DayQuil.
Yeah. It's the same age as DayQuil?
Also, I'm the same age as the Heimlich maneuver.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Sorry, my bad.
The year of saving lives.
Yeah, facts.
Heimlich maneuver. Meow mix.
Okay.
Come on now. Meow mix.
The cats will celebrate with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know.
Sound sad reading this list now. When I asked you at the beginning of our convo if you're sad, you're like, no, not really.
Well, no.
But as you go through this list, it's like...
No, I think
you get
that...
emotional.
No, you know what would hurt, I think, is if I had a list in front of me of the things that turned 49 this year. And then that way I would know that I'm older than all of those things.
Thought you were going to say getting up.
I don't hide that. That hurts real bad. Everybody Googling right now. Things that turn 49 in 2024.
10 great things.
Hold on here.
Is that turning 49?
Oh, here. I know what to do. Watch this.
Should I tell you who else is turning 50?
Who else is turning 50?
Kate Moss, Christian Bale, Olivia Colman. I thought she was older. Seth Green, Elizabeth Banks.
Okay.
Mahershala Ali, Jerry O'Connell, and Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Oh, really?
Oh,
huh?
Zach!
Mark Paul Gosselaar looks way younger.
You think so?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Zach from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, he was so cute.
Okay, great.
Well, I like how she said was.
Yep. So, you know, it doesn't make you feel good, but whatever. Oh, here, I got a good one here.
Go. You know, it's like we're all writing our memoirs here, the way people are typing. That's so funny.
Oh, I'm older than Apple computers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, how to dress fashionably at 50.
I don't need that. I don't need
how
that.
To dress in your 50s.
Okay, yeah, read that one, Maury.
How to dress in your 50s.
Give us here the top line. Top line, quick.
All right. Embrace color. Widen your neckline.
Oh my God, I'm older than whack-a-mole.
Yeah, widen your neckline. What else?
Play up your waistline.
Okay, yeah.
I'm older than the Burger King fish sandwich.
Oh no. Okay.
Bold prints.
A bold prints. What else?
Chic loafers.
Okay.
Come on now.
That's
great. Yeah, you're giving us, send that list. That's like a great birthday gift list that you got going there. Some ideas.
Man, I'm older than Big Red Gum.
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't even think they make that anymore.
They don't even make that anymore. It died already?
I got like.
That's going to be my new thing. Okay, I got to change all my bios. Yeah. Everything. The awards, the accolades, the show, everything else. Outlived Big Red Gum.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
There is a new television show on Apple TV called Palm Royale.
Oh.
First three episodes are out now. New episodes weekly every Wednesday on Apple. Check out this cast before I tell you what the show is about, okay? Mm-hmm. Carol Burnett, Ricky Martin, Kristen Wiig, Allison Janney,
damn.
Josh Lucas, Laura Dern, Irma Gerd, Laura Dern, how you Dern? Also her dad, Bruce. Irma Gerd, Bruce Dern, how you Dern?
Bruce Dern?
Yeah. Bruce and Laura Dern, how you Dern? In 1969, an ambitious woman aspires to cross the line between the haves and have-nots to secure her seat at America's most exclusive, fashionable, and treacherous table, Palm Beach High Society.
Oh, damn.
You watch these episodes, right, Maury?
Yes. It's Kristen Wiig who wants to join the High Society and do anything she can to be a part of the rich elite.
Is okay. This Kristen Wiig funny Kristen Wiig, or is this Kristen Wiig not funny Kristen Wiig?
It's a bit of both.
Okay.
Bit of both, absolutely.
Who does Ricky Martin play? What's his character?
So Ricky Martin plays like the house manager kind of thing, like the guy who
perfect.
Runs the house. He's shirtless in a lot of it.
Uh-huh. And what about Laura Dern?
Laura Dern plays one of the high society people.
Of course.
She's so good at that though, right?
Yeah.
So Dammit Maury, kicking things off, talking to Ricky Martin. And from what I gather, I think Maury really, really, really likes this show.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. I'm Dammit Maury from the Roz and Mocha Show. I got to say, this show is absolutely incredible. I absolutely loved it. Everyone's going to absolutely love it. It was so absolutely good.
It was absolutely, absolutely good, right? Okay.
My question is, and I never thought I'd get to say this in life. My question is for Ricky Martin. First off, as a gay, my husband has a massive crush on you, and he's not here right now, so I'm going to hang this over his head forever.
Said my love, please.
My question for you is, you recently said that you got high in one of the scenes in the show with Laura Dern. So I need to know, how close is fake marijuana to real marijuana?
No, it's very far from one another. It's that we were sober, but I was talking about the power of feeling and the energy that was created.
A placebo.
Before the scene, it was a placebo situation where we really went to places. And it was fantastic for the scene. It helped a lot. There was a moment that we just went on a rampage, just going through our emotions of how we felt or how deep we were into that smoking situation, but obviously not everything was used for the scene, but I think it was a very important process that really helped the scene and to throw the message that needed to be presented.
I haven't seen Ricky Martin act before. Is he good in the show?
Oh my God.
Like absolutely good?
Yes.
Okay. So they weren't high?
I don't think he really even answered my question.
No, I think he did. He clearly did. Do you know what a placebo is?
Like not real.
Right.
Like the like pills.
So it was that it wasn't real. It wasn't real.
No, no, it was fake weed.
They just got into the spirit of it and then they all felt high.
But my question was I wanted to know like when you're smoking a fake joint, does it feel like you're smoking a real joint?
Right. And he said no.
Oh, did he? Okay, cool.
This is Dan Mori talking to the cast of the new Apple TV show called Palm Royale. New episodes every Wednesday. First three are available right now. Let's get back. This is a great question for Ricky Martin because I learned something here.
My next question for Ricky Martin, it's been 25 years of Livin' La Vida Loca. How does it feel
guys,
to be celebrating 25 years of such a legendary song?
So 25 years. I mean, it's just, it feels so far, yet so, it feels like it was the other day, you know? It feels wonderful to walk on stage. I just finished a tour last Sunday, and people listen to this song, and people react in such a wonderful way. And I think that's exactly the same way I reacted when I heard the demo for the first time. I was like, what is this? What is going on? This is life-changing. And I'm talking about a demo without an arrangement. You know, it was just melody and a simple beat and the fusion of ska in it. That's all we had. And I said, I mean, this song will never die. And that's what's happening. 25 years already. Wow. But it's a song that I want to perform always. I'll be 80 with a cane and I'll be performing Living La Vida Loca. I'll do my best. You know?
25 years. That's crazy.
I was there when he did a big thing and they had him perform on a street and I was covering it. And I like this thing 25 years ago, Ricky Martin, right? Like the women that were like dying, It was the one of the wildest crowds I've ever stood in the middle of.
Really?
Just like he could have, like he, if he said, hey, not you three, but if Ricky Martin was like, hey, you 300 back to my hotel room, 300 women would have followed him. No joke.
Oh man. Well, you got to check it out. The show is called Palm Royale. First three episodes are out right now on Apple TV with new episodes dropping every Wednesday.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oz,
yeah.
Prepare to be annoyed by Maria again.
Oh, for God's sake.
The two of you have been battling so much lately. I love it.
Well, if she wasn't so frustrating, it wouldn't frustrate me.
Frustrating? Have you met yourself?
Maria was frustrating her father.
Sounds like a good man.
Over her, over the way ice cream was being eaten in the home. Because apparently Maria eats her ice cream different from her dad. And her dad, like, not lost it on her, but was like telling her why she was wrong. Explain the process. What were you guys eating? What happened?
So you're having Häagen-Dazs, okay? So like the vanilla on the inside, the chocolate around it.
Are we talking like a tub of ice cream or like the bars?
No, like a stick. Like the one on the stick, yeah.
Okay, the ice cream bar.
Ice cream bar.
Oh, okay, I got you. Okay.
Sorry, yes. So the way my dad eats it is he just bites into it.
Right.
Which is psychopathic behavior, as I like to say.
Okay.
I chew the chocolate all the way around. And then I'll eat the vanilla part.
Wait, you go. So you eat all the chocolate?
I chew all the chocolate around
first?
It, yes, and then I'll eat the vanilla.
But then doesn't the
part.
Ice cream melt?
No.
So, do you want me to? I can break this down exactly what this is before we even listen to it. I don't even have to listen to it.
Okay, go.
Which is that your father eats ice cream bars like a grown up, you eat them like a child.
No.
That's how children eat
No,
ice cream
you
bars.
Can enjoy each part no, separately.
It's just, no,
I you, don't know. I think
you,
if
you eat like a child.
No, I don't.
And your dad eats like a grown man.
But here's the interaction. No.
That is illegal how you're eating your Häagen-Dazs.
Illegal?
Who eats ice cream like that?
Who eats it like that? That's how you eat.
You just take a bite out of it?
Yeah, that's
you're
what you do.
No. No, you should eat it like this.
No.
Yeah, where you chew the chocolate around and then you have the vanilla at
it's
the
like
end.
A sandwich.
It's not a sandwich. It's on a stick.
Why would I do that?
Because you can get to enjoy the chocolate first.
No, I enjoy it much better this way.
No.
Very enjoyable.
No.
Instead of ripping it into pieces around.
How am I ripping it into pieces? I'm enjoying one portion at a time.
All you're enjoying is the chocolate. You haven't even gotten to the inside.
Yeah, because the vanilla.
The chocolate and vanilla are supposed to be eaten together. Just like a sandwich.
I think you should try my method next time.
Why would you do that? That's just not... That's not smart. Very good. Thank God I didn't waste my time.
I'm not wasting my time.
Really enjoyed it. Shouldn't have had it, but really enjoyed it.
Can I read you guys the text?
Yeah, it's sort of on your dad for not teaching you how to eat ice cream, though. It really is.
The Roz and Mocha text line blowing up here. I got you, Maria. That's how you eat ice cream bars.
Thank you.
Another person said, Maria's right, followed up by, Maria is instantly wrong. Another person said, I agree with you, Maria. I do the same. Maria is 100% right. That is the only way to eat those ice cream bars. OMFG, I do what Maria does.
Right?
And Maria's smart.
Thanks.
Maria is 100% right. You eat the chocolate around it first, then you eat the vanilla ice cream.
I bet you if you go to their website, they probably have a best practices recommendation.
Like a tutorial?
On how to,
like
how
a
to
YouTube
eat it.
Tutorial.
Yeah, yeah. But this is on your father for not teaching you how to eat ice cream, though.
Another person said, sorry, Maria, your dad is right. It's an ice cream sandwich to be eaten together, but you do eat it like a kid. That came in from Rhea. Another person said, Maria, you are so wrong here.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Followed by, Maria is right.
Okay, I'm going to say that right now, in 100% of the Häagen-Dazs advertising, even on the box that they come in,
yes,
it shows one single bite off the top corner where you eat the ice cream and the chocolate.
That's lame. No, you want to enjoy the chocolate with the nuts first.
Yo.
Don't.
I'm just.
Don't do that.
Shum, grow up, man. Not cool.
Can't just bite into it.
That's what they, but that's, this is the correct way to
do
it.
That would hurt your teeth. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking.
It's ice cream.
Somebody else said, I'm on her dad's side here. Another person said, Maria, straight to jail.
Yeah.
I'm gonna end on this last text.
Yes.
OMG. My 9-year-old is freaking out because he eats it like Maria.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
It's been a very, very long time since I was ever out on a first date.
Oh, yeah. Like decades.
Let's not, I mean.
I think they called it something else back then.
Recording.
So it was Sadie Hawkins Day. And never mind. You don't even know what that is.
I don't even know.
I just made an old reference that was even too.
I got you, bro.
You got me.
I got
you. Okay, thank you. Thank
is that,
God.
Is she a Stranger Things?
Shut up. Stop it. No.
Ooh, Sadie Hawkins.
Is it a place or is it a
Sadie Hawkins? I can Google it.
You never had a Sadie Hawkins dance at school?
Sadie?
Like Sadie Hawkins.
Or S-A-D-E-Y.
You never had a Sadie Hawkins.
Is it a religious thing?
No, it's not a religious thing. No, it's when.
It's a folk event? Word just makes it old.
It's when the girls ask the guys out instead of the guys asking the girls to
dance.
Also,
Bumble.
Great reference. Yes. Sadie Hawkins Day is an American folk event and pseudo holiday originated by Al Capp's hillbilly comic strip. Lil Abner.
Yeah, that's right. It was Lil.
Oh, what the heck? Okay. So what happened? We're celebrating Sadie Hawkins Day.
No.
Oh, okay. What are you getting at?
I was saying I haven't been on a first date in a very, 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 very long time.
Oh,
apparently,
why are you
nervous? Very. No, I don't have one. No, I was just going through the stupid story about what you should and should not wear on a first date. And I'm like, to me, all of this just seems like it's just common sense that you wouldn't.
Let's hear it.
Like, I'll go through some of the things that you should not be wearing on a first
date. Can I guess one?
Yeah.
Crocs. Is Crocs on there?
Yeah, but who would though?
You would be surprised.
But who would? Really?
I bet you. Yeah.
Anything with a huge logo on it?
Okay. Yeah. Why are you looking at me?
I don't know.
I got a plain t-shirt.
You look like a NASCAR. You're always logoed up.
Shut up. I got a logo on my hat. Okay. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. What else?
A shirt that's way too tight. Ankle socks with sneakers is on
there.
But what
if your tight shirt shows off your muscles?
I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
There's a fine line between tight and too tight.
A full designer outfit, like head to toe, like all designer.
What if it's a Louis V though?
I know.
Like track pants and the shirt.
Well, no, you can't because number one on the list is a full track suit.
Oh. Yeah.
Right? But also like fedoras. Like, okay. Who's wearing a fedora on a first date?
I would.
But who's wearing a fedora? Nobody's wearing a fedora.
The mask?
Nobody's wearing a fedora. A camo.
Yes, agree. No camo.
Camo.
No camo.
But who's wearing camo?
You're not going hunting.
Yeah, but who's wearing camo?
Who are you hiding from?
You'd be surprised.
Like who's wearing camo on a date?
Like full camo? Like
I don't
head to
know.
Toe?
Maybe I don't know. Maybe
even
like
still.
Like camo pants? Is that okay to have camo pants?
It really depends.
What about doctor scrubs?
Like on a first date?
What? Like what if you're meeting
anatomy.
A doctor and he like, you know, you're meeting him for lunch and
no,
he's still
that's
in his scrubs.
Dirty.
No, yeah,
no, I don't come with what you were around sick people with.
Lack of effort.
Nobody wants that.
I will like to go back to the tracksuit though, and some guys look really hot in gray sweatpants.
No, a full tracksuit.
Like to dinner? Like you don't do that.
It's gonna be a no.
What if it's comfy though?
Nah, no.
That's what Elton John does.
I agree though. Like
he's like 1,000 years old though, man.
Nobody's going on first dates wearing
all
this
stuff.
If a
guy shows up in a tracksuit, he has different intentions.
What are the intentions? What does a tracksuit mean?
Tracksuit means it's a lounging type of date.
Yeah. Like he wants the date to end
early.
Uh huh.
He wore his dinner outfit, but also his pajamas. Is that what you're saying?
Mm. Yes.
Interesting.
What else is on our list?
Interesting.
What about tearaway pants?
I think that would fall into the world of tracksuit and skinny jeans with rips in them.
Yeah, men in
no,
skinny.
That's hot. That's hot. Matthew wears his.
But on a first date, we're talking Maury again. When's the last time you were on a first date? You don't know. You're old like me. You don't know. Look at you trying to participate.
2006.
At least Mocha is not trying to pretend like he has an opinion on this.
Are there anything else on the list?
Is there anything we should add to the list?
Man purses.
Oh.
Satchels.
Why can't you just call it a purse? Why does it have to be a man purse?
Because a guy's carrying it.
But it's just a purse.
Oh, and is it true? It's just a purse.
You don't call it a girl hat?
No, that's true.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, do you have that Jelly Roll clip over there you can play real quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, I love Jelly Roll.
Yeah. And I'm only like just now starting to like tune into this guy. And I was watching a couple interviews and he's super like endearing. Like he's really quite charming, actually.
Mm-hmm. The appearance doesn't match the persona. Or no, sorry. Doesn't match like what he is in real life.
Well, I'll tell you the thing, because I knew the name Jelly Roll and I knew what he looked like before I knew even what genre he was. Like I didn't know his music. I didn't know anything. And so I didn't really assume anything other than I knew he was in music, but I didn't know what he sang. I didn't know how he sounded. I didn't know anything about that. I just knew sort of how he looked. And he did an interview with GQ talking.
Before we get to that, let me just play a little bit of...
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah.
A little bit of Jelly Roll, just so you can get a sense of the kind of artist he is. And like probably one of the most saddest songs I've ever heard in my entire life is called Save Me. And what I learned is that this song he wrote after or talking about like previous addictions, right?
Somebody save me. Me from myself. It's been so long living in hell.
Like, how do you not get into your own emotions?
They say my life.
Yeah, he's good. Really talented.
Listening to this song, right?
Great voice.
Bad for my health.
Really great.
And such a nice guy, too.
It's the only thing.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. I didn't know anything really about him, but he's pretty charming. So he does an interview with GQ where he goes through and just sort of talks about all his tattoos and then the tattoos that he has over top of other tattoos and just sort of gives a huge breakdown, and it's pretty funny.
I don't know. I don't like, I mean, I hate them all. I don't know where to start. Maybe the baby smoking the blunt.
Oh my God.
Was a little excessive. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that was a little bit much. A lot of these are cover-ups. The ones that were really bad have already been covered up. So this is the Nashville skyline. I got this to cover up. I had surviving the struggle, but we had forgot to put the T in it. So it said surviving the struggle.
Oh, no.
Probably my most meaningful tattoo, as cliche as it is probably the big cross. It was symbolic of a change in me. It was symbolic of a kind of a new beginning, understanding that I need to bear my own cross. I need to carry my own cross, as the good book says. So That was kind of a constant reminder. Aww.
So yeah, so he said that he regrets 98% of his tattoos, and his big advice when it comes to getting tattoos is don't go cheap, which I think is great advice.
Fantastic advice
for tattoos.
Yeah,
what's that, Maury?
I wish I had that advice.
How much did you pay for your big ugly tattoo?
I think it was like one of a lamp, right?
It's a microphone.
Yeah,
it looks like
but
a lamp.
You got
Everybody
the weirdest
knows.
Style of microphone.
I know.
Though.
I Google imaged it 5 minutes before,
and it looks like a lamp, and we can't even see it now because it's on your broken arm and you got that thing on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How much did you pay for that?
$80.
Damn. Like a good tattoo, like if you, like one
in
of these
Kitchener Waterloo.
One of these good tattoo artists, like for $80, they'll give you a dot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Facts.
Right? There you go. That's $80.
The last time I went and I got two done, this is a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think I paid, it was like $380 maybe.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Which still isn't bad, right?
Yeah. That's not that bad, no. I know people who've like spent $380 on something tiny.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
but
that
was for that session.
Yes.
Because I had gone a couple months before.
Right.
And paid like another three something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Like
can you do a package deal with tattoo artists?
Yeah, you can.
You actually can.
Yes,
uh-huh.
You can.
You got, but your problem is, damn it, Maury, is that you gotta leave a deposit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a cash up front element to
it. Who pays for something before they get it? Well, I guess that happens a lot.
Quite often.
Yeah, like gas.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Your house?
Yeah.
Right? Your condo? Your 35-year mortgage that you got?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's hell of a story.
Arlene, hello, it's Roz and Mocha. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Really great, Arlene. Where and when does your hell of a story take place?
My hell of a story starts on September the 12th, 1998, so while ago.
Okay.
But it was the day of our wedding, my husband and I's wedding.
Oh, no.
Oh, great.
Okay, so what happened?
So, I'm a pretty positive person. The day went off without a hitch, even though I was told, you know, expect a few things to go wrong. Uh-huh. So the wedding, the ceremony itself went off without a hitch. The photos, everything went perfect.
Oh, great.
Go into the hall afterwards. You know, we were the first ones there, and I wanted to see how everything was set up.
Mm-hmm.
Walked into the hall, and back then, I don't even know if they still have videographers, but he was setting up his lights. And the lights were going around the dance floor, and it was about 8 feet up in the air, the one light. And I'm standing in the middle of the floor looking at the head table, and all of a sudden, bang, never had this happen before. I literally saw stars. His light fell over and cracked me on the head.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
And you're standing there in your wedding dress and everything, and everyone's all standing around?
Well, not quite, because not a lot of people were there yet, but all of a sudden I just grabbed my forehead. Blood starts gushing everywhere.
Oh, God.
And he cracked my head open, or the light cracked my head open. My first thought is, don't get blood on my dress.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And bleeding everywhere. My mom, who was an eMERGE nurse, came in and, you know, they were bringing me towels, everything. Said I could probably have gone for about 3 to 4 stitches in my forehead.
Uh-huh.
But thank God, back then I had bangs.
Okay.
My mom's in there putting, you know, Band-Aids over, and then we adjusted my hair. And the only thing was, she's like, I don't want you to drink because you might have a concussion. And I had such a bad headache, so... I went through, I had a couple of drinks, but...
Oh my God, Arlene.
So you would think the story would end there.
Yeah.
Hold on, one second. So the light hit you on the head, right? So this is before the wedding reception, before everyone gets there, but you had just said, like, I know you're exaggerating a little bit by saying that it cracked your head open, so it wasn't severe enough that you needed to go to the hospital right away.
Correct.
Your mom was able to help you figure things out, get a couple of Band-Aids, close up the wound, and stop the bleeding, right?
Right. She wanted me to go to eMERGE. I'm like, I'm not going to eMERGE on my wedding night.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that wasn't happening. But she was able to fix me up.
Okay.
So we went through. And then, like I said, because I had bangs, you couldn't even really tell, like, after I was all fixed up. So that part was good. So... We're leaving the next day to go to Aruba on our honeymoon. And, you know, I still have the Band-Aids and everything on. And my mom's like, you know, salt water good, you know, get in salt water.
Yeah.
But what we didn't realize is that the heat brought out the bruise.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Within a day, I am walking around with a full black eye on my honeymoon.
Oh, no. And everyone's looking at your husband, assuming the worst.
Exactly. So I'm walking around, and people are like, you okay? I'm like, oh, yeah, funny story, funny story. So I told them the story. But then on the Wednesday, I end up getting a sun blister on my lip from the sun.
Yeah.
So now I'm walking around with a black eye and a fat lip.
Oh, no.
So people are starting, like, you know, classic battered wife syndrome. I'm like, no, really, it's a sun blister. It's not.
You're making all the classic excuses.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Yeah, and every day it's something new, yeah, okay. Arlene.
I know.
Okay.
And our last day there, one of our last days, we decided to go on a Jeep safari thing.
Yeah.
And my husband, who doesn't know how to swim, I taught him how to tread water.
Uh-huh.
So we were treading water, and he put his face in the water, and he realized he was out too far and he couldn't reach, and panicked.
Okay.
And as I'm coming up for a breath, he's panicking, and he pushes me down because he's panicking.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm a good swimmer, so I was okay with that. But like, yeah. He's pushing. All people see is him then pushing me under. And he's trying to drown me.
Yo, the optics. Optics aren't in his favor at all.
I know. So all the
people you told that, no, a light fell on my head, and no, the fat lip is from the sun, all those people who got that excuse are now watching your husband drowning you.
Yes. So I think people that were there probably think I'm dead by now.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anything, I got a lot of free pictures out of it from a videographer, and I have one hell of a story.
Wow.
So embarrassing, but oh my God. And I still have a dent in my forehead to this day.
Oh no. Damn, Arlene. Yo, you're right. That was one hell of a story.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Arlene.
All right. Thank you, guys. I love listening to you guys every morning.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, Alyssa. Are you there?
Hi, Mocha. How are you?
Doing good. Wait 1 second. Oh, man. It's been forever, everyone.
Does your job suck?
Yeah.
Does it make you hurl?
Yeah.
Roz and Mocha's worst job in the world.
Ugh. Man, I quit.
Worst job in the world. We have not done this in a really long time, so we're going to have to recap.
I think that one of the things, the reason we haven't talked to a lot of people was we've had some like incredible stories of people who claim that they have the worst job in the world. That's what we set out to do. We just said, hey, who's got the worst job in the world? And the top three is like pretty stacked.
Mm-hmm.
At number one still is Matthew. When we talked to Matthew like months ago, and Matthew works for a company that does trauma cleaning.
Oh.
So you can only imagine what that's like. And I think that one of the things that made him jump immediately to number one was that he comes in at the end. So what he said was that oftentimes the paramedics or the coroner's office will come in and remove the body, but they leave behind the pieces. And that's when he comes in to clean up everything else.
They got
to
do.
And then we got somebody else who is a professional porta potty cleaner for construction sites, festivals, homeless encampments, and more. And the hose gets clogged all the time, and it is an unholy job. And then Michelle is sitting at number three, and she's a Subway cleaner. Like she cleans it, like the toilets in the Subway.
Or like if something happens on the Subway.
Yes.
That she is then responsible for going and making sure that's all cleaned up.
A lot of people who clean things. So, Alyssa, what is your job and why do you feel that it's the worst job in the world?
Well, I am in charge of basically porting everybody's little gremlins to and from school.
Okay.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Are you a school bus driver or something?
Yes. So I drive a school bus.
Yeah.
And basically, the stuff that I see every day or have to deal with on a daily basis is crazy.
Okay, so you're going to have to tell us.
Yeah, you got
to
tell us.
This is like Roz and Mocha's worst job in the world. So what's the stuff that you deal with? What's the stuff that you see and or smell? Give us details.
Oh, details? Yeah. I had multiple projectile vomits on the bus, which is not fun. All the kids basically run around and leave them all by themselves, and I can tell exactly when that happens. And then I'm stuck to clean it, which is gross. I have to go back and, you know, get the sawdust and put it down and sweep it up and then mop the whole bus.
Yeah. Okay, so you deal with that little kid's vomit.
So when a kid throws up, you throw sawdust on it like it's oil on a driveway?
Yeah, well, actually, it's either sawdust or like this gravelly stuff that I get from the mechanics back at the yard.
Yeah, okay,
They won't, they won't even do it for me.
Okay, so kid vomit, what else?
Oh, have you ever heard of crop dusting?
Crop dusting.
Yeah. A kid farts and then like walks around hilarious. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, crop dusting is hilarious though.
Yeah, when you're the person doing it, I guess, and not the one who's getting a mouthful.
Okay, what else? What else?
I don't know. It's just really like sometimes they think I'm their mom and I have to clean up after them with all the wrappers and everything. Then they try to get tricky with it and stick it all in between the seats, and I have to go digging with literally like tongs to get it out of the seats from against the windows.
That's also where they keep the boogers, you know.
I know. I wear gloves. I have to because the bus can be a vile place.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a school bus driver, Alyssa. You clean up a lot of kid vomit. You got to clean up after them. You're not their mother. And every now and then, one little SOB decides to crop dust you.
Or they gang up and do it together.
Oh, you get like, damn.
Wow, that's a game changer right there. I don't know, Alyssa. Like, I think, you know.
We'll put you on the list.
I think it's a tough job that you have to endure every single day. Because, like, how old are the kids?
I do high school and elementary, so it's a whole range of them.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. You're not top three.
No.
Straight up. You're not top three.
I think I would be.
No. I'm looking at the...
Who else we got here? We got the nightclub security.
That guy is solid. Right?
He's at number four. Number five is the denturist, Laura. We have... the guy that has to clean up construction sites. We got the woman who works for a company that makes government-issued crack pipes and
metals. You ever had to deal with feces in your line of work?
Luckily, no. Okay. Will,
yeah,
luckily.
That matters. That matters.
Number eight is the corrections officer. Tracy's in at number 10. I would say maybe Tracy, the property manager, moves up one spot, and then Alyssa goes to number 10.
I'm going
to
tell you why Tracy needs to stay at number 10, and maybe Alyssa moves into number 9, which is because Tracy's no longer a property manager.
Right.
She was talking about a previous job.
I totally forgot about that. Okay, cool. Yes. So Alyssa, you leapfrog. You're in at number 9 for worst job in the world, okay?
I'll graciously accept number 9.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Love you guys.
Love
you
right back. Take care. And if you think you got the worst job in the world and you want to share your experience, it has to be the worst job that you have right now. It can't be, I used to do this. I used to be in this profession. It has to be right now. Just text us on the Roz and Mocha text line, 925-555.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Maestro Fresh West, a.k.a. the godfather of Canadian hip-hop, is finally getting inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame and will be performing at the Juno Awards Sunday night. We're going to chat with him in a second. He just dropped a new track called Flagrant Freestyle. Check it out.
Yeah, I'm in the zone again. RJ Barrett left New York, and now he's home again. Way before fans were lining up for Raptor tickets, a rap exquisite tried to take me out, that's sacrilegious. Cause I was cut from a crazy fabric. In 93, I seen Farrakhan and Jacob Javits. Now I can walk through any
Maestro Fresh West family, what's going on?
Man, Roz and Mocha, thanks for having me. How you guys doing?
Real great.
Glad that we can finally connect. You have so much going on. What do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about the new song, or do you want to talk about being inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame?
I think let's talk about being inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame, because that's huge, man. That's epic for all of us.
Why did it take so long, I think, is everyone's big question.
I mean, you got to ask the committee and all that, but I'll tell you, Mocha, I don't really twiddle my thumbs, you know, waiting on things. As you can see, I keep them moving. So when things like this happen and I get the call, I'm like, okay, let's rock.
When you start getting these things, honors from the country and like Governor General's Awards and Hall of Fame, these are all such incredible honors, and they hit you usually two ways, which is, oh my God, this is amazing. And then also, oh my God, I'm old.
Listen, yo, I saw your beard, guy. I saw your beard.
But you know what I mean? Maybe not old, but like I've been around a long time, because time just sort of disappears when you do what you do, right? And is it a good thing to be able to just sort of take a minute and look back to order to be forced to look back at everything you've done?
You know, it's funny you ask that, because I live in St. John, New Brunswick now, but I just seen Ice Cube perform here. He was here like last week, and the way he performed really gave me energy. Like, listen, man, we can still do this and at a high level. And, you know, sometimes when I do Let Your Backbone Slide, I may get a back spasm here and there, but let's leave that alone. I'm about to perform under Junos,
yeah.
And I'm about to be inducted, and it's a great thing. My brother Carter now will be introducing me while I be inducted, and it's an awesome opportunity.
Is this performance going to hit different? I know last year at the Junos, you were a part of the big, you know, hip-hop celebration, 50 years, right? And that was just such an incredible moment for music in Canada. Forget about like just hip-hop in Canada, for music in Canada, to see all these great artists and groups come together to share that stage. But this is, you know, a celebration of you and your contribution to Canadian music. Like, how is this performance going to be different from everything else?
With this right here, I might be performing, but we celebrating Canadian hip hop, 100%. And I'm going to have Nova Scotia's finest on stage with me, backing me up, doing background vocals. It's going to be a beautiful thing as we celebrate, you know, the East Coast and the community over there and what have you. So it's a beautiful thing, man. This is us. I'm looking at this, fellas. We celebrating Canadian hip hop, and it's an honor to be a part of this.
You brought up Cardi earlier. We had Cardi on the show earlier this week, and he said creatively where he is in his life right now, it's sort of freeing because he only does the stuff he really wants to do. And are you at that spot right now too?
I love it. There's no pressure, no major expectation. Like you said, man, you know, we're getting older now, and we, you know, respectfully, it's like, this is the time you enjoy what you're doing. You already made your bones, man, you know? So now it's time to enjoy what you're doing, do things you like. Like, you know, I got my cooking show, The Maestro Chef West. How cool is that? Because I don't make burgers. I make backbone sliders.
Yeah. I love it. Yo, you get back spasms making them sliders too?
Listen, man. Yeah, man. We got conducting wings, but watch this. In Halifax, we'll be inducting things, and I'll be inducted in the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying?
I love it. And talk to us about this new song that you're dropping, Flagrant Freestyle. How did this song come about? Like, is this something that you've had, like, in the pocket for a while, or is this something that was just inspired recently?
Yeah, well, I'm a huge fan of Socrates and Choclair, and the fact that I live in New Brunswick now, and the Junos are in Nova Scotia. You can't forget where you came from, man. I'm from Toronto. And at the same time, too, that was one of my favorite beats. And it basically is a tribute to my brothers, Choclair and Socrates, as well as a tribute to Toronto, because we started from the bottom, but now we're here doing international things. So even though I'm celebrating the Junos in the East Coast at Halifax, you got to remember, we from Scarborough, man, you know?
I was born in Toronto, raised in Toronto. If I wanted to, I could run for mayor of Toronto. But I'm the rap prime minister. Some say sinister. Drake's the sixth god, I be the sixth godfather. Toronto's hip-hop Dalai Lama, word to Allah.
Maestro Fresh West is on the Roz and Mogi Show. Just dropped his new song, which you're hearing in the background right now, called Flagrant Freestyle. He's getting inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame, performing at the Junos on Sunday night.
So what was it? I imagine being from Scarborough, what was the transition like to New Brunswick for you? Because that's where you're living right now.
Yeah. Well, it was because of COVID, right? So my son's mom figured it'd be the best place for us to co-parent our son. You know? Because we had like so many lockdowns due to COVID and restrictions. And just for the sake of him, we'd have a better support system. And I think because of that, Roz, I'm being rewarded with all these accolades and all these things, these great things,
Dude, that's so amazing. We're so happy for you. Flagrant Freestyle, out right now, everywhere. Go stream it. of course, the 2024 Canadian Music Hall of Fame inductee at the Junos, the first ever hip-hop artist to be inducted. Really quick, before we let you go, Maestro, I'm just going to read off. You were talking about accolades and celebrating you and your contribution to music. I want to know, I'm going to read these off real quick. You tell me the first thing that comes to your mind, okay? Because, like, we're running through the resume here. First Canadian rapper to break into the Billboard Top 40 with Let Your Backbone Slide. First Canadian hip-hop artist to receive gold and platinum certification, inaugural winner of the Juno Award for Rap Album of the Year, first hip-hop rap song to be inducted into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame, first hip-hop artist to be inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame, and the first hip-hop artist to receive the Governor's General Performing Arts Award for Lifetime Artistic Achievement. What does all of that mean to you, bro?
Man, holy smokes, like, Ross, I'm getting old.
Okay. I made one joke. Okay, I made one joke. Yeah. We can let that go now.
You guys can talk about it over some backbone sliders when you visit, Ross.
I will. I'd love to.
Yo, Maestro, you know how much love we have for you here on the Roz and Mocha Show. We appreciate any time you make time for us. You are our family. You make us so proud, and we just want to celebrate you and your contribution to Canadian music, man.
Thank you very much, fellas.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live
weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com.
Or download the Kiss 92.5 app.